It's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Such a pleasure to have you with us. As you just heard on NPR News, the U.S. Supreme Court says it will not take up the city of Los Angeles's challenge to the so-called Boise decision. That decision by a judge on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals was that cities do not have the rights to remove people sleeping on public right-of-ways, on sidewalks, unless there are shelter beds for those individuals to be able to use. We'll talk about that with the L.A. City Attorney, Mike Feuer, and with other guests coming up just a little bit later this hour. But right now, our attention is focused on public transit. We're very pleased to have with us the Chief Executive Officer of L.A. Metro, Phil Washington, who regularly joins us to talk about top issues in public transit. Phil, good to have you back.
Well, it's great to be here, Larry. A lot of things are going on here. A
lot of things that are going on. I want to invite our listeners to join with their questions, too. We're at 866-893-5722, or you can post on our AirTalk page, kpcc.org. This is your opportunity to talk with the top man of L.A. Metro to bring any concerns you have or questions to his attention, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. Phil, we had quite the conversation about the proposal for toll lanes on the 405 freeway through the Sepulveda Pass between the 10 Santa Monica freeway and the 101 Ventura freeway. So where does that stand?
Well, earlier this month, we awarded a contract to an engineering firm to study how to convert the 405 carpool lanes into express lanes that will grant access to single occupancy drivers for a toll. Our board approved that. That was $27.5 million to begin to study and explore the idea, as well as to begin environmental work needed and complete 30% design for this toll. Solo drivers would be charged as a toll, and those who carpool will not. These express lanes are being developed really in concert with a rail line that will connect the valley to the west side. So we hope to have the express lane project finished in time for the Olympics, and we hope to have a rail line soon after that.
So with this, or I guess you're studying this, the potential for adding a toll lane versus just changing the current carpool lane to a toll?
It will probably look at restriping and changing the carpool lane. That is probably the best way to go about doing this. But the idea eventually is to get to a rail line. The ridership, the estimates for a ridership on rail through the 405 and the Sepulveda Pass are astronomical, something like 130,000 people a day.
You'd have to link it up, though, to public transit on both ends, right? So
yes.
What lines could you link up a subway through the pass with on each end?
Well, we would look at linking that up with the Purple Line that we're building along Wilshire right now to the south. That Purple Line, as you know, we're building that in three sections, Section 1, 2, and 3. And we are entering in construction on the third and final line right now, with the other two lines well on the way.
You don't have a subway, though, on the north end of the Sepulveda Pass to link up to. How would you handle that?
Well, we actually are building the San Fernando Valley Transit Corridor to the north end right now as well. That is part of our plan in Measure M as well. So we are managing probably right now between $18 and $20 billion in construction right now, with another dozen or so projects on the way.
All right. We're talking with Phil Washington, CEO of L.A. Metro. We're at 866-893-KPECC. A survey of transit riders in Los Angeles found that for women, there are very serious concerns about public safety. You hear this anecdotally all the time,
yes,
Phil, I'm sure, about the kinds of terrible behavior that women have to deal with, even if it's not full-on criminally assaultive deeply unpleasant things that, and not just women, but men, but particularly women. We have Jack Alister who raised the issue. You know, in Japan, they have cars on the subway or trains that are just for women. Is that something LA Metro would ever consider?
I'm not sure we would consider that. Keep in mind, the report that you mentioned was actually our report. In September, Metro released its Understanding How Women Travel, which was designed to examine how women use the Metro system and the challenges they face. So nobody forced us to do this study. We actually wanted to do this study.
Yeah, and you talked about on previous show that you
That's
were
going
to be doing it.
That's
yeah.
right. This is the first time that a transit agency has done such an in-depth report on how women travel and the findings that lead to improvements in comfort. So now, you know, the vast majority of Metro, of riders that use Metro, use it without incident or and crime has been generally declining thanks to our doubling our security forces out there. But we do know that there is a perception of the system being unsafe. And so we've got that study. We are developing our action plan. We're looking at ways we can improve the system. Earlier this year, we're using a $600,000 grant from the Federal Transit Administration to actually upgrade lighting at 18 locations in the city of Los Angeles and around our system. We released an upgraded sort of transit watch application where people can call in. And our Metro law enforcement team and security team are in the early stages of developing a bystander sexual harassment campaign that will seek to empower bystanders to help address sexual harassment. So we're doing quite a bit. And finally, I would say this Understanding How Women Travel actually came out of a Women in Governing Council that we set up within Metro. To understand these issues and other issues, they have introduced various initiatives, about eight different initiatives, and I've approved all of them. And this Women and Girls study was just one of those.
Parker, our engineer for AirTalk, just mentioning how much more of a police presence he's seen on the Red Line, which he uses. So can you quantify how much more law enforcement presence there is on the lines?
Yes, we have actually doubled our security forces. Back in 2017, we went from a one-agency model that was the county sheriffs to a three-agency model that includes LAPD, that includes the sheriffs, and also includes the Long Beach Police Department. So we have actually doubled our forces out there. Any given day, there are maybe 400 or 500 police officers, both in uniform and plainclothesmen, out on our system. And so, again, our crime on the system has really declined, but we deal with this perception of safety or that the system is unsafe.
Well, and there's still incidents going on, too.
Yes.
And, you know, if you know people that use public transit, there's a good chance they've had unpleasant experiences to share about it.
Absolutely.
I mean you've had your own, I'm sure, as someone who rides public transit.
I'm on the system every single day, and I wish we had nicer people out there, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate because it ruins it for everybody,
as often
said. Alex in Laurel Canyon says, any Angeleno can pull out a phone, calculate a route to a destination. And when you compare the time by car versus public transit, the car always wins. Mm-hmm. What do you believe could fundamentally change the structure of the Metro system so that it would, because of convenience, persuade riders to use it?
Yeah, a great question. Our service planners, we have been busy over the last year digging through all kinds of ridership data, regional tap data, cell phone-based data to understand where and when Angelenos move around the region. We have gotten the blessing from our board of directors and our regional service concepts to look at redesigning, restructuring our entire system. The concepts are relatively simple. We need faster service. We need more frequent service throughout the day service that reflects current travel patterns. We know that travel patterns have changed all over the region, and we need to look at those. And we're doing those through something called our Next Gen study that is going to look at and result in better network connectivity, less waiting time to transfer, more standardized schedules, better coordination with other bus agencies that operate in LA County. Next month, we will take these service concepts that really look at a sort of a line-by-line improvement around this massive county. We're going to take it to our board in January, and then in February, we're going to host 12 community workshop meetings to get input from the public on this new on these new route proposals, and then hold public hearings in the spring. Every day we hear comments about how Metro's buses can better serve our riders, and we look forward to implementing this next-gen system.
As you've said before when you've joined us, though, one of the fundamental challenges is buses are stuck in the same traffic as cars.
Right.
And so when you factor stops in on top of that, there's no way time-wise a bus is going to be able to compete.
That's right. And we are in the same traffic, which is why, in addition to this next gen study, we're looking at bus only lanes that have caused a lot of conversation around the region. There's a video out there that someone made that showed people this bus only lane and people waiting in traffic. And over the course of about 10 or 15 minutes, 75 buses passed in that bus only lane, and those same cars were waiting.
It sends a strong message.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. We're talking with the CEO of LA Metro, Phil Washington. Dave in Encino wants to know what's being done to address the first mile, last mile challenge. As long as that problem isn't addressed, Dave says, ridership isn't going to grow. So you've had the bikes are one of the ways to try and address that. You had said that there was a pilot program to actually use ride hailing companies to try and close the gap at the end of it, as I recall. So where do those projects stand?
Those projects are still underway. They're very successful. One of the programs that you mentioned is microtransit. This is the idea of using our own small vehicles to do Uber and Lyft-like services.
So small vans, for example, you have your own drivers.
That's right. We have our own drivers, and we are starting that program. It's been very, very successful. We've had another program called Mobility on Demand that we have piloted at three locations. Those have been successful. So we are looking at ways now to expand those programs and implement those programs on a permanent basis.
We have another listener. Let's see, it's Mike, who posted on the AirTalk Facebook page, says the only way to increase public transportation is to make it 100% free for everyone. Are there public transit agencies that have tried that, and is the cost of it enough of a barrier that that does increase ridership?
Well, there's a couple of things. There's one transit agency in Kansas City, relatively small transit agency, that are going with free public transit. And this is just over the last few days. The news came out last week. Now, what we have said and what I have introduced actually in public presentations is the idea of congestion relief and congestion pricing. As part of our traffic reduction program. People don't understand that we are responsible to do something about that congestion. I mean, that's part of Metro's charter to reduce congestion. So we have introduced the concept of congestion pricing. We are in the throes of a feasibility study right now. And our thought is that congestion pricing, the revenues from congestion pricing, can make transit free for everyone.
So this would be, as we've talked about before, you take a zone like part of downtown Los Angeles, that drivers would have to pay a fee during peak times to go into that area, and then that money would go into this fund to make buses and light rail free.
That is the thought, and we are in the throes of that feasibility study. What we hope to have at the end of that feasibility study is identification of a pilot area that we can do just that, that what you just described, and make transit, to begin with, free in that pilot area. The beauty of this is we can start making transit free in that pilot area incrementally. We can start with seniors. We can start with students to make it incrementally free and then build up in that pilot area expanded and more frequent transit service and making it free for everyone and hopefully spread throughout the county.
I think there are a number of cities, if I'm not mistaken, that have their little, you know, city-only transit that's free that people can use.
Yes.
In even larger cities, Portland in its downtown has free usage. I can't recall if Denver with its trolley is free, but a lot of cities do that just because but it's a contained area.
It's a contained area, and I was fortunate enough to be the CEO.
Oh, right. You're from Denver,
right.
Of course.
Well, I'm actually from Chicago, but...
But you headed that agency.
But I headed that agency, and we had free transit at a place called the 16th Street Mall. People may be familiar with that, and free bus service for that two-mile stretch. But you could still drive. You can still drive in that area. So what we're talking about is some sort of congestion pricing like London has in the city center, where congestion has been reduced by 40% and transit has been increased by 20%.
But as you know, if you think toll lanes are controversial, congestion pricing takes it to 11 on the scale. So that's going to be a huge fight.
It's going to be a huge fight. We know there'll be challenges, but think about what it can produce. It can produce, reducing our carbon footprint. It can reduce congestion by, I would say, 20, 30, 40% in the most congested county in America. So I look at the benefits that can come with that, not to mention the possibility of free transit.
We're talking with Phil Washington, the CEO of LA Metro. When we come back, we have another listener question to ask of Phil. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. We have several more minutes to talk about public transit in LA. Back in 1 minute. What used to be the blue line, the A line, reopened after being closed for months for a full refurbishment of that system. Unfortunately, this was a shocker to me. Phil, when you put that back online, they only had 30 hours to test the system. Was that for real?
Can't say we only had 30 hours. I think we had a little bit more than
that. I thought that's what I read. I thought, how in the world was something that complex? Because usually you would just for a month, right, run empty trains?
Well, when you build in a rail line, you have something called integrated testing, and you actually test that new line for something like 3 or 4 months. We did not have that much time to test the new A line. But let me just say that it was a rough start. 99% of the things that we discovered or 99% of the things that are working on the system. But it's not the start that we wanted. We tested and certified trains on the A line prior to the opening. And we are improving every week right now. And so not what we wanted in terms of an opening, but when you are operating a line that's 20 miles long or whatever, there's
it's
a lot of
It's the longest
things.
In the system,
yes,
right?
Yes, and it's the busiest in the system. And it's actually the busiest light rail line in the country. And so when you're doing this, some things don't work out right. But we are gaining more riders every single day. We are carrying about 45,000 a day.
Wow.
And originally it was about 60. So we're getting to that
point. You're getting back to where you were before
yes.
you closed it down for the work. What still is balky? What's still causing problems with it?
We have a stop and proceed area where we need to work on some signaling in one area around 108th or so. We're working on that, and we continue to see improvements in the end-to-end runtime. The end-to-end runtime is about 53 minutes. We're trying to get that down, working with the city of Long Beach and the city of Los Angeles We'll fix those signal issues, and I think we will actually gain more riders. I would also say that we have an express bus. We've added an express bus during the peak hour bus service, this new line, 456. We'll continue that in a pilot program to see how ridership performs. So we have two modes, both rail and an express bus.
We have another listener question. This in regard to the Metro pension and OPEB plans. I'm not sure what that is, but the contributions to those plans have increased year after year. What is Metro's plan to reform those plans? And the listener says, we approved Measure M. How much of that is going to pay for increased pension and OPEB contributions?
Well, none of that will pay for that. So
that's not, you can't use that for those purposes.
Right. I mean, we went out to the public in 2016 with specific purposes for Measure M. That includes building a lot of new infrastructure, state of good repair to make sure what we build we take care of, a lot of money on the bus side, a lot of money on the rail side, and local return that we send back to the 88 cities in the county to do their own local streets and sidewalks.
I'm sure skeptics, though, are concerned that that money's fungible, that it supposedly goes for particular projects, but embedded in that are the staff costs, including pensions.
Well, there are some staff costs included in that, but Measure M, we have a taxpayer oversight committee. We are very, very strict in how we use Measure M and Measure R funds as well. And so we need to have people to do the work, obviously, but we are very, very careful with how we do that, and we have a taxpayer oversight committee that helps us with that.
And are you looking at reforming the pension and medical plans at all?
We have contracts with our union, so that is specifically the collective bargaining agreement. There's not a lot of changes that we have in the works for pension plans.
All right. Also wanted to ask you about subway car renovations.
Yes.
You've got some new things that are going to be coming. What are some of the features?
Well, we recently shared some early photos of the interior of the new subway cars that we will be arriving, that will be arriving next year, that feature more bench seating or side-facing seating as opposed to the seating configuration that we currently use. So in short, we will go from a seating capacity in two married cars, if you will. If you have two car trains, we'll go from 232 to 251 in terms of the capacity. Now, that includes seats and that includes standing room as well. There'll be more people that will be able to stand, and these side-facing seats allows the aisle in the middle of the train to be wider, so standing and moving around will be more comfortable and more convenient.
All right, very good. And there'll also be a new way for people to secure their bikes, is that right?
Yes. Those with strollers, bikes, or luggage, and wheelchair users will also find it easier to navigate on board these new cars.
All right, very good. And we talked last time about the challenge of electrifying the bus system because you need a whole new infrastructure in the yards, whatever. What's going on with that, at least studying that?
Right. So earlier this year, Metro took delivery of its first zero-emission electric bus. It's going to be deployed on Metro's Orange Line after testing is completed. Now, this is a 60-foot articulated bus, so the bus that bends in the middle, if you will. It's manufactured by a firm called New Flyer, and it uses state-of-the-art technologies. It's the first of 40 electric buses from New Flyer that will arrive over the next year. The Orange Line in San Fernando Valley will be the first line to receive all these electric buses, with a total of 40 to be delivered to our agency this year, and we will deploy them on the Orange Line. So that would be the first all-electric bus line that we will have.
And that happens by the end of next year?
The end of next year. So we are being very, very aggressive in our approach. And then we will look to the Silver Line. We will look to electrify that whole line, and this is a separate purchase We have ordered 65 zero-emission or electric buses for the Silver Line, and that is the line that runs from El Monte Bus Station to the Harbor Gateway Transit Center. And actually, that's the line that I catch almost every day. So that will be all electric by 2021, with the plan to go all electric in our 2,200 bus fleet by 2030.
Wow. So you got to have the whole infrastructure. Big deal.
Yep.
Phil, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We really appreciate your joining us as always. A wonderful holiday season. We'll look forward to talking with you again in early 2020.
Thank you, Larry. Happy holidays to you, my man.
Thank you so much. Phil Washington is the CEO of LA Metro. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. We'll be back momentarily.